Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. The opening prayer for today's liturgy, listen to this and make this prayer your own. O God, from whom all good things come, grant that we who call on you in our need may at your prompting discern what is right, and by your guidance, do it. Listen to that. You know, sometimes we get the first step of this, but we don't complete it. O God, from whom all good things come, grant that we who call on you in our need. So that's the first thing. We're in need every day a lot. What's the first thing you do? Call upon God. Not the last thing when everything else has failed, but the first thing. Grant that we who call on you in our need may at your prompting discern what is right. When we're asking God for help, part of that help is God showing us what our part is, or how to handle it, or how to think about it, or how to speak about it. Do we take that to the Lord first? May at your prompting discern what is right, and by your guidance, do it. Carry it out. It's very simple. And it's very hard, both because we don't, I don't want to stir up trouble. If there's a lot of trouble seething underneath, we say, I don't want to touch it. I don't want to stir it up. Ask God, what do you want of me? Or you find yourself in a situation that very frightening. The strongest thing in you is you just want the fear to go away. And so you try by any means to get rid of the fear. What we need to do is go to him first. We who call on you in our need, may at your prompting discern what is right, and by your guidance, do it. It's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. God will show us. The first reading today is taken from the first book of Kings, and this is a continuation of the story of Elijah that we heard yesterday, the great prophet Elijah. The brook near where Elijah was hiding ran dry. Remember, the Lord told him to go there because no rain had fallen in the land. So Elijah is in need. There's no water. So the Lord said to Elijah, what did Elijah do? He went to the Lord. Lord, you called me to be here, but there's no water. And the Lord said to Elijah, move on to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have designated a widow there to provide for you. He's taking care of his prophet. But Elijah didn't know how all this was going to work. He had to have faith that the God he was serving would hear him and lead him step by step. We want the master plan. We want to see it all laid out before us. But oftentimes, God only gives us one step. And if we obey that step, he shows us the next step. That's part of what's going on here. Right? Do you trust God enough to allow him to lead you? So Elijah left and went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the entrance of the city, a widow was gathering sticks there, and he called out to her, please bring me a small cup full of water to drink. She left to get it, and he called out after her, please bring along a bit of bread. He's very hungry. He hasn't had much in a while. And she answered, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. There is only a handful of flour in my jar and a little oil in my jug. Just now I was collecting a couple of sticks to go in and prepare something for myself and my son. When we have eaten it, we shall die. Now, that can sound ludicrous, but what she means is there is absolutely nothing left. Nothing. So therefore, if that's the case, then we will die. She's just declaring a fact. Elijah said to her, do not be afraid. So here's Elijah asking for help, and in turn, Elijah gives help. Oftentimes when we reach out to another who's in need, some need of ours is satisfied too. We don't know until we reach out with goodness to help another. As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. There is only a handful of flour in my jar and a little oil in my jug. Just now I was collecting a couple of sticks to go in and prepare something for myself and my son. When we have eaten it, we shall die. And Elijah says to her, do not be afraid. Go and do as you propose. But first, make me a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can prepare something for yourself and your son. Ooh, here's another test for this poor widow. Make something for me first, and then you can take care of your own needs. How often do we do that? We oftentimes reach out to help others when everything of ourselves is taken care of. And the passage here is clearly showing us Elijah as an unselfish person. The Lord our God says, the jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth. They were starving because they had no rain initially. And he's asked her for a small cup of water. They had almost nothing. And then he asks her for a little food, and they have nothing really except a little something, the last that she had for herself and her son. So sometimes when we're called to reach out and help somebody else, we don't have much, but we give what we have, and you watch how the Lord blesses that. Rather than saying, I can't help you, I don't have enough, or I have just enough for myself, I'm sorry I can't help you. You reach out to help another, and then God blesses you. It's called mercy. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says, and so he tells this widow who's done what he asked, the jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth. She left and did as Elijah had said. She was able to eat for a year, and Elijah and her son as well. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, as the Lord had told through Elijah. It's a miracle there. For the time of famine, she was given actually miracle food. It multiplied. It shouldn't have, but it did. It did not go dry. It was not empty. When we care for others, God blesses us very much. Lord, let your face shine on us. That's what we need. Not all the celebrities in Hollywood, not all the movie stars, not all the musicians, but it's when the Lord looks upon us that our faces will shine, because God has shined on us. Think about it. When we are near to the Lord, we begin to reflect his image. And part of helping us to come to that is God allows opportunities to be placed in front of us where we're not just giving of our excess, we're giving of our need. And he will bless us, but we have to trust him for that, don't we? Because we can't see it yet. When we do, there's a joy when we encounter God and we say, oh, this is you. And we rejoice in what God does in us and through us. Trust him. Serve your neighbor. Be merciful. Lord, let your face shine upon us. Read that psalm. Pay attention to that psalm. Look at the second portion of it. Know that the Lord does wonders for his faithful one. The Lord will hear me when I call upon him. Tremble and sin not. In other words, be in fear of the Lord, not a servile fear, but a respect of putting him first, obeying him before you take care of yourself. Tremble and sin not. Reflect upon your beds in silence. O Lord, let the light of your face shine upon us. You put gladness into my heart more than when grain and wine abound. Their grain and wine, they were earthly things, but they were the staple of their lives, and without them they perished. So sure, grain and wine brought them great joy, but oh my goodness, Lord, what your presence brings us is far beyond that. And the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth." You're supposed to salt the earth to bring out the flavor of that which is good. Do you do that? "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Make sure your life counts, brothers and sisters, and it can count in silent ways. You don't have to be in headlines and billboards, but follow the Lord. Do what He wants. Make your priorities, or rather make His priorities your priorities. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." How does it happen that your light shines? You know, it's not like turning on a switch. It's as you every day are, first of all, offering your day to the Lord. Secondly, you're saying, "Lord, lead me and guide me today in ways that I can be merciful to others. Lord, show me your will today in this circumstance, in that circumstance. I desire to be more and more your son and daughter. I desire more and more to be your disciple. Lead me, show me. Guide me, help me." You pray that prayer sincerely every day, and your light will begin to shine, because God will lead you into circumstances where you'll see you have something to offer. And when you do that, when you offer, even if it's something that you'd prefer to keep, you give it because the other person is in need, not because they'd like it. But for people in need, when you sacrifice for the needs of another, God draws very close to you and His light begins to shine through you. It's reflected on us. The light, He is the light of the world, but He allows His light to shine upon us so that people who see us are attracted. They're drawn. Who are they drawn to? They're not sure. But that they know that there is something particular in you that's different. That's the grace of your baptism and confirmation coming alive. And sometimes it even shows itself physically. There's light. Remember my telling you how you see all these pictures of saints with halos around them? Well, the halo is the artist's way of reflecting the light that should shine out for, and did shine out from the faces of the saints. Why should it not shine out in you? Really? Really? Saints are made a step at a time, and in each of those steps, we're saying, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you. Yes, Lord, whatever you want. Yes, Lord, I am your son or daughter. Teach me, and I will follow you." That's where we need to get, and God wants to give us the grace to get there. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.